How are you doing? It's Alan Robinson.
Alan, how are you? It's Steve Waremski from Dynasty League Football.
I'm doing well, man. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Man, it's been a fantastic year for you in 2015, huh? 1,400-plus yards, touchdowns, Honolulu trip, youngest receiver at 22 to hit those 1,400 yards and 14 TDs. You satisfied?
Nah, man, never satisfied. You know, for me, watching tape and stuff like that, you know, I know it's still a ton of plays that I left out there. You know, so this year I want to become a lot more efficient, you know, on my catch-to-target ratio. You know, so, I mean, for me, you know, it's always something, you know, working on. You know, I want to become a much more improved route runner. You know, I want to do some more things after the catch. You know, and in the red zone, I want to tighten up my route runner a little bit. You know, so for me, you know, knowing that coming into the offseason for me, you know, I just try to create a plan for myself. You know, the same thing I kind of did last offseason. So just create a plan for myself and go from there.
It's interesting you bring up the catch-to-target ratio. That was something I was going to ask you about in a little bit, because you're at, I think last year you're at roughly like 53%. Most of the elite guys are around 60%. So, you know, you mentioned some of your route running, et cetera. So, I mean, do you think that was a function of you, the target-to-catch ratio last year, or is that those quarterback play come into play? Does the fact that you were targeted downfield a ton?
Yeah, you know, for me, I would say, you know, for me, I got to take the blame myself. You know, I think that's the most important thing, you know, as far as trying to improve your game. You know, for me, I mean, whether it's this, no matter what it was, you know, I had to be able to get open and make the catches more efficient than I did. You know, so however I got to do that, I put myself in a position to do that. You know, so I mean, but at the same time, you know, like you say, you know, I feel like I had a lot of downfield targets and things like that. You know, so you know, I think it's a combination of things. You know, but for me, I got to just be able to do my part, you know, and improve my game in that way.
So now I think, you know, I don't think you're getting the national attention that you do deserve. I think a lot of, call it the fantasy world is certainly on board because they see that week to week, but maybe nationally across, you know, some of the outlets like ESPN, NFL Network, et cetera, you don't seem to be getting the accolades that you deserve given the year you just had. Merrill Hodge put out something recently, top five receivers under 25, list included DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, and Amari Cooper. But you weren't on that list. I mean, how do you feel about that when you saw that?
Oh, you know, for me, I mean, that's something that always is going to give me an extra little edge and an extra chip on my shoulder. You know, what I mean, I've been in that situation since coming out of high school. You know, so I mean, for me, you know, that's not something that I'm not used to. You know, but I don't really think too much of it. You know, at the end of the day, I put it behind me. You know, and I got to let my game speak for itself. You know, I'm not really worried about the you know, accolades, you know, or the attention from the media. You know, as long as I get the respect and stuff from my teammates in the locker room and my coaches from going there and making the plays, you know, that's the only thing that really matters to me.
Sure. And then the Jaguars PR staff recently put out a stat, and you're one of two receivers in NFL history with those 1,400-plus yards, 14 touchdowns in year one or year two of your career. Jerry Rice was the only other player. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, you know, it's pretty cool. You know, whenever, you know, this past season, you know, I was in a lot of categories with Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, you know. So, I mean, whenever you're in conversation with guys like that, you know, it's always an honor. You know, those are both, you know, one Hall of Fame guy and a future Hall of Famer, you know. So whenever I'm in talks about that, you know, that's always good.
You think it's justified? You think it's warranted for you to be in that company with guys like Jerry Rice, and you mentioned, you know, Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson? If you look at that same threshold over anyone's career, forget the first two seasons of someone's career, but there's only four guys to have ever hit these numbers in their career. Do you think that company is warranted? Do you think you belong in that category?
I you know, for sure, you know, and I'm continuing to work, you know, to be there, and then I'm continuing to work to stay there, you know, but for me, you know, again, you know, all I can do is go out there and make the plays, you know. So I mean, whatever category, you know, people want to put me in, you know, based on my stats and things like that, you know, it's kind of it's kind of out of my control, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, for me, it's just about going out there and making plays.
So then we talked about, I mentioned the media outlets not picking up on your success thus far. I mean, do you think that's a function of the Jacksonville market and the fact that the Jaguars, I mean, you guys had one primetime game last year?
I think that can, you know, whenever you're in a big market, you know, we understand that they get publicity and things like that, you know, but at the end of the day, as we improve as a team, you know, get better and start to win more games, I think that we'll get all the attention that we need.
Originally, you were arguably the biggest snub of the pro ball, but then Calvin Johnson sat out with an injury. I mean, I know you said you don't care about the accolades, but I mean, you had to, given the year you put together, been aggravated initially. I mean, and then satisfied that you ultimately got there like you deserved to be. Will you carry a chip on your shoulder into 2016 because of the initial snub at all?
Oh, for sure. You know, for me, you know, just like you say, you know, it's a lot of things. You know, as far as that, you know, as far as the top 25, as far as the top five under 25 receivers, you know, even though, like I said, these are a lot of things that are out of my control and that I don't really think too much of. But at the end of the day, for me, it happens. You know, it happens, which means, you know, something, you know, maybe I mean, whatever it is, you know, for me, just having that want to make more plays and want to get better, you know. But at the end of the day, I always have that shit, you know. I mean, like I said, like going to my workouts and just things like that, you know, those situations like that create a chip for me, you know. And I came into the league with a chip, you know, and I'll continue to have one.
So you said you came into the league with a chip. What was that mostly due to? Does it go back to the combine and your 40 time when people were doubting you, or is it something else?
Oh yeah. You know, the whole thing. You know, like for me coming to the league, it was about, you know, me not being able to make big plays and, you know, things like that. You know, so it was just me, you know, wanting to not so much wanting to prove these doubters wrong, you know, but just also, at the same time, always proving, you know, Coach Bradley, you know, and Mr. Caldwell, proving those guys right. You know, those guys were the ones who gave me opportunity, you know. So, and they believed in us, you know. Even though having a young receiving core last year, you know, in the offseason, it was everybody was saying that they should bring in some experience, you know, and they didn't, you know. So they had the confidence in us to go out there and do it, you know. So for me, you know, it just creates the chip, you know, for the.
I mean, we've seen it time and time again. A guy breaks out, dominant season. We go into the off season and you're coasting a little bit, and then you have a disappointing follow up year. Is that in the back of your mind at all? You worry
nope.
about that?
Nope. Not at all, you know, because at the end of the day, for me, you know, leading up into the season and then going through the season, you know, physically and mentally, I try to put myself in the best possible situation as far as playing and just knowing the game plan and mentally focused going into the game, you know. So, I mean, if I do that and continue to work hard on the field, off the field, you know, and be prepared for the game and be prepared going into camp and then continuing to put myself in a good position. You know, I can't really worry too much about the end result. You know, I just know that I'm putting myself in the best possible position to get the result I want.
So how do you prevent that from happening? Is it just purely off-season focus? Like, what are you prepping for this off-season into next season to prevent that from happening?
At the end of the day, I'm just approaching it the same way I did last year. You know, going into training in Jacksonville, you know, with our strength staff, you know, doing the same things that I did. You know, just putting myself in a good position to play well. You know, and I feel like if I do that, you know, then at the end of the day, I like my result.
I mean, did you notice into the second half of last year, after you started so strong, that opposing defenses changing the way they schemed against you, whether it be more bracket coverage, double teams, anything like that?
Oh yeah, a little bit, you know. But you know, for us, you know, as an offense, you know, we have so many weapons, you know. So whenever that happens, you know, for me, you know, just sticking to the game plan, you know, not trying to do too much, you know, just being ready when my number is called, you know, and then just helping out any way possible, you know. For me, in the run game, you know, like when I do get my opportunity, you know, at passes and things like that, you know, to make the play. But at the end of the day, you know, when teams try to do stuff like that and take you out of the game, you know, you got to just continue to play your game. You know, I mean, it's not too much that other that you really, really should be focusing on or really can focus on.
I'd heard in a recent interview with you when you were asked some of the most difficult corners you've faced thus far. You mentioned Darrell Revis, Vontae Davis, Jason Verrett. I mean, what about those three guys makes them a difficult matchup for you? Is it the press coverage? Is it their closing speed? What is it about those guys?
Avante and Revis, you know, are pretty big corners, you know, in the league, you know. So I mean, so just kind of balancing, you know, with their size and physicality, you know, with how good their technique is, you know, it's always a challenge for anyone, you know, especially with Jason Frey, his athleticism, you know what I mean? He's pretty athletic, real fast guy, you know, quick, you know. So I mean, those guys, when they have all the makeup of your ideal, you know, corner, and they're playing like it, you know. So I think that's what kind of make those guys special.
Surprised that Channing Stribling wasn't in there. I mean, you got a tattoo on your chest. He wasn't in there. I mean, with that tattoo, it's obviously one of your best plays while you were at Penn State, right? Your towering high point catch over Stribling. He was a little salty after he saw you posted over on Twitter and you guys exchanged some back and forth. Any regrets posting that on Twitter at all, following his reaction?
Not at all. You know, not at all. At the end of the day, you know, for me, it's a tattoo, you know. So, I mean, I didn't, you know, post it and tag him in or anything like that. You know, he took it the way he wanted to, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and at the end of the day, you know, I mean, he said some things, you know. I mean, I wasn't going to respond at first, you know, but I did, you know. But do I regret it? I really don't at all, you know.
Sticking with Penn State, Christian Hackenberg, you know, his best collegiate season as a freshman was in 2013. Coincidentally, that's your last year at Penn State. You had your monster season, almost 100 receptions, 1,400 yards, 6 touchdowns. Many believe he was a function of your talent and maybe why he's now viewed as a solid prospect headed into the draft here in the next few months. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can't take the credit for the success that he had while he was at Penn State. You know what I mean? He put the work in, you know. He made the throws and things like that, you know. So I was able to make some plays for him, you know. But I think when you look at, you know, the talent that he has and what he's done over a career, you know, that he'll be a solid player in this league, you know. So I mean, for me, you know, I can't take any of his credit at all.
And then you've played with a young quarterback in Blake Bortles. You've had success after 2 years in the league, so you do have some perspective. Do you think Hackenberg can be a successful quarterback at the next level?
Yeah, I think so. You know, at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing in this league is the mental aspects of the game. You know, when you look at any position across the board, especially quarterback, you know, those guys have so much going on, you know, as far as the plays, the coverage, the protections, and things like that. You know, the quicker that you can get that and stay ahead of the game, you know, mentally, you know, I think that gives yourself that much of an edge, you know, as far as playing, you know, against your opposing team, you know. So I mean, if you have a real good feel for their coverage tendency and things like that, and you're able to kind of, you know, see different blitzes and things like that early in the play clock, you know, and get your team adjusted and into the right play and things like that. You know, I think if you really hones in and attacks the game mentally, I think he'll be as good as he wants.
See those qualities in Hackenberg, the ones that you just mentioned. You saw that when you were playing with him in 2013.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for, you know, anything after my junior season, you know, but I know from playing with him and Coach O'Brien, you know, that he has that system where you have to, you know, change the protection, you know, where you have to you know, alert plays or kill plays, get into different audibles and things like that, you know. So I mean, I know he has the capability to do it, you know, because I've seen him do it before.
Then I want to send just the final question, talking about your foundation within Reach. Can you just talk a little bit about the foundation and what you're trying to do with it?
Yeah, you know, my foundation, you know, is to try to connect with kids, you know, through education and athletics. You know, by me growing up in the inner city of Detroit, you know, I think I was blessed with some opportunities and able to meet, you know, meet people that I idolize, you know, as a young person, you know, and I hear the different things that they had to tell me. And then I think it just hit a little bit differently than hearing it from somebody else than your parents and stuff. So, I mean, for me, that's just what I'm trying to do.
Well, Alan, appreciate you taking the time spending
with me
today.
No problem.
Congratulations on an awesome
Thank you, I appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing you continue the success in 2016.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alan. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
All right, bye.